Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And we welcome everyone. Great to have you with us on this Friday. Sean the King and I, and Matt will let you join in. We'll pick games. And I can assure you, after last week's scintillating and stirring performances.
I see from what Sean texted me yesterday. Not that I've been much better either in my personal NFL picks this year, so we're all in the same boat. So this should be fun.
Most weeks we've all been pretty good. There have been some 6-0s, some 5-1s, lots of 5-1s, and no worse really than a 4-2 or whatever along
right,
the way.
Right, I've heard.
Yeah. Last week, we didn't even make the Mendoza line.
Yeah, it was a tough one last week.
We were 2-4 last week. Bad, bad, bad.
It happens, though. We got a chance to bounce back this week. Well, you guys know, I'm just jumping in.
But you know what? But the odd thing is, you talk about, you get to this late in the season where now you have a real indicator on where teams are.
It's pretty tight with you guys.
No, I mean, but you should have a pretty good idea.
Right.
Where everybody is. And... You should be able to pick the games easier.
Exactly.
Well, I can tell you right now, the answer is no. Okay. Now, we have a fun show today. It's all brought to you by Brewers Outlet. Here we are now. First of all, let's talk gift certificates at Brewers Outlet. All right? It's that time of the year. You want to go out and you want to get a gift certificate. You want to let people know you care. And that certainly does it. We've tried to tell the suit over the years, look, lump of coal, no go. You've got to do something far more meaningful, like a Brewers Outlet gift certificate. Brewers Outlet specials now through Tuesday. Extra Gold Lager, 12-pack, 12-ounce cans, only $4.95. Okay? Leinenkugel, 12-pack cans, $7.95. Okay? Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, is indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Tonight, wrestling at Soika. Penn State and Bucknell. Coming up, we'll talk to the play-by-play voice of Penn State Wrestling. Jeff Byers will join us as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us on the show today. It's going to be an exciting, hopping night at Soika Pavilion. Because guess what? Penn State Wrestling is coming to town as the Nittany Lions will take on Bucknell this evening. And that will take place at Soika tonight. That joint will be jumping tonight. Looking forward to that. And get a chance to see the Nittany Lions. Then they have Lehigh, by the way, coming up on Sunday at 2 o'clock, Lehigh's got Princeton tonight. And Lehigh gave Penn State all they could handle last year. All they can handle. They will bring to the table, Lehigh will, 6 ranked wrestlers. That's if Sonny Parker can go. Sonny Parker, the 133-pounder. 133 is about as deep a weight as you're going to see in the NCAAs this year, without question. But, of course, tonight for the fans in our area, the fact that Penn State is coming to town to bring the defending national champions in to the building and the most dominant program in collegiate wrestling to the building is going to be just terrific to see that happen tonight. And let's get to it here. Let's bring in the outstanding play-by-play voice of Penn State Wrestling, Jeff Byers. Jeff, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Thank you. Always nice to be on.
All right. With this, obviously they've got Bucknell and then they have Lehigh. I know this is really important to the people at Bucknell that this is happening. How important has it been for Cale Sanderson to spread the wrestling wealth to promote the sport?
Yeah, I think it's big. It's a responsibility that they take very seriously, trying to get around and let as many people get exposed to the style of wrestling as much as anything else that Penn State has, which is that wide open, go for broke type of style. And they've been able to get back to their home state of Utah. They've been able to get out to California. Next year will be in Arizona. So they've done a good job going across the country, I think. They would like to get into the South here, probably one of the Carolinas, I would think, sometime in the next few years anyway. And it is important here in Pennsylvania, too. And they're kicking around some different ideas. Nothing that's set in stone yet, but they're kicking around the idea of maybe doing and they tried this idea many years ago, about a decade ago, of having kind of a Pennsylvania dual format. So you give some of these other schools an opportunity to face Penn State on kind of a rotating basis. And whether you set it up as a tournament format or you just say, listen, everybody's going to get three duels each year and we'll get, you know, whatever it would be, 8-10 teams in and kind of just have a set schedule of who's facing who. Because it is tough. Every Pennsylvania school obviously would love the opportunity to have Penn State on the schedule, and especially to come into their gym and guarantee a sellout. So they're trying to do right by the other schools. It's just tough with the limited dates that are available with the schedules the way they are these days.
There's no question. And when you look at the Bucknell lineup, for example, all but three potential wrestlers tonight, all but three are all Pennsylvania kids.
Yep.
I know the people there, right? I know the people there. This just means a lot that they're going to show up and be in the building.
Sure. No, it's a big deal. I think anytime, you know, especially smaller schools in any sport, you get the number one team in the country coming in, it is a big deal. And it's a big deal just to have that opportunity. Again, regardless of how everything unfolds tonight, this is a memory that those kids and the Bucknell fans that come to the match, they'll have that forever.
All right. Where is Penn State in terms of settling a lineup? How important is this month? You know, obviously it's November 30th now, but now this part and then December, how important is that to settle the lineup?
Yeah, it's very important, and I think, you know, they're still in the process of that. The Keystone Classic settled things, at least temporarily, at 49 and heavyweight, provided both are healthy. But the Southern Scuffle will really be the next. Obviously, they're going to monitor how these guys continue to perform in dual meet type of formats, and then they'll kind of go from there as far as, you know, if somebody's underperforming, you know, they may make a move, but I don't think that's really going to be the case. I think it's a situation where these guys are just going to, you know, 49 is just interesting because you have two really good kids, and I just don't think there's much separating them there. And, you know, at some point you just have to get whoever's going to be your starter, the matches under their belt, and move forward with it. And the same thing in heavyweight. Again, I'm not sure heavyweight is quite as locked down as some folks are thinking. Kassar had a very impressive performance, but Devils is still kind of working his way back into being full strength and kind of full go here. So, you know, obviously if Kassar beats him again at the Scuffle, that should pretty well settle it. But both those spots are still open. And, you know, each time these guys step on the mat, they've got to understand that it is, and I think they do understand, it is continuing to audition for that starting job and ultimately a chance for a national title.
When you look at the two guys at 149, Brady Burge is off to a 4-0 start. Jared's 5-2 at this point. What's the separator between them, in your opinion?
Yeah, there's not much, Steve. It's interesting because they have kind of a different style of the of them. McLaren is very much a kid that loves to go in on the double leg attack offensively, and it's just really tough to score on. Berge, you know, in some ways maybe easier to score on, but I'm just a variety to his offensive game and can beat you in so many different ways from the neutral position. And I think if anything separates them, and I'm not sure who is how it does separate them, but I think that might be Berge's edge. It's just a little more with his offensive arsenal, like at this point of their careers.
Do you like the way Shakir Rashid and Bo Nicholas settle into their spots now? Because Bo had to move up to 197.
I do. I think it's one of those situations, to be honest with you. I think Bo Nicholas' optimum weight is actually 184. I think both of them, that's the case. But Bo wanted to make the move. Bo feels good about the move. And certainly he's the guy that can put on that weight, and you know, he's the guy that's good enough. He's like Kale when he was wrestling. I mean, you could put him at any weight and he's going to get the job done. I mean, it's just, he's just that talented and knows how to work the angles and everything. So I don't think that's going to be a problem for Nickel. And I do think 84 is just the ideal weight for Rashid. I just think he's perfectly built for that weight class. I think his length is going to be a real problem. We've already seen it for a lot of the other 84-pounders, and his strength is fine at 84. He's certainly a force to be reckoned with, and I think they're anxious, maybe in the coach's anxious, to kind of see how he matches up here on Sunday. He'll get a real good test against Lehigh.
No question. Devin Schnupp, what kind of potential do you think he has?
Steve, he has a lot of potential, and I really think at this point it's mostly a matter of confidence for him. His wrestling ability is really good. He's a guy that just keeps bugging away, works his tail off in the room, and just keeps getting better and better. But you know, he's got to get that belief that when he's out there, he has prepared himself well enough to win. And I think once that confidence part, and, you know, confidence and winning kind of go hand in hand, I guess. But I think once he gets some wins under his belt, and I do think he will get that, you know, I don't know that he's All-American good at this stage of his career, but I do think he's a guy that can go out and win more than he loses against the schedule that Penn State's facing this year. But they just have to kind of get him to believe that that's the case, and that's kind of been the battle here, because he's done everything they've asked him to in terms of working on his game and improving it in the various areas here during this past year.
Roman Bravo, young, the freshman out of Tucson, is off to a really good start. Obviously, the big test, I think, is going to be for him on Sunday with Lehigh. Initial impression, what do you think of him?
Yeah, he is a dynamic kid. Just a lot of fun to watch. He has a tremendous motor, has terrific quickness. Cody Sanderson was talking the other day about he might be the quickest kid that they've had in the room in these lightweights, and that's saying something when you look at some of the kids that have come through here under Kale. But just lightning quick, really good with the timing, really good with his hips, as I guess all great wrestlers are. But the thing that's really been impressive to me, Steve, is his willingness to really work on the areas that needed work on when he came in. And that isn't always the case with freshmen, especially when they've had the type of success that he's had at the scholastic level, but they've really worked with him on the top position and on getting out from underneath. And his mat wrestling, you would not know he's a true freshman when you watch him out there so far. Now, it is a case, you know, we're hoping Scotty Parker does go here, certainly the whole type of match here, and kind of see where Roman fits in. He fits in somewhere there on the national scale, but there's a lot of good kids at 33. It might be the deepest weight class in the country, and just not exactly sure where he fits in, but he fits in there somewhere. And again, the thing is, he's just such a dynamic kid and to learn here that I just think, regardless of where he fits in now, when it's all said and done, he's going to have a nice career for himself here at Penn State.
Yeah, Lehigh's gone once. They lost to Michigan. Now they've got Princeton coming up. They will bring, if Parker goes, they would bring in six ranked wrestlers. Lehigh gave Penn State all it could handle a year ago. So what kind of gauge is that going to give you early for Penn State?
Yeah, I think it's a big one. Lehigh, I think, does as good a job as any program in the country when it comes to scouting Penn State in particular and opponents in general. Their coaching staff just does a very good job of molding specific game plans for specific matches. And I think Penn State kind of welcomes that opportunity here early in the season to see what it is that Lehigh's believing they can focus on against each Penn State kid as potential weakness and trying to exploit to, you know, at least keep matches close, if not pull some of these out. And Lehigh's just got a really balanced team. They might not have the firepower that Penn State or Iowa or some of the other teams that are going to be in the contention for a national title this year have in terms of, you know, top two or three guys, but they have six or seven guys that are certainly capable of getting on the All-American podium, and that would get Lehigh, you know, into the top five finish here at Nationals.
Bucknell tonight at Soika, then Lehigh in Rec Hall Sunday at 2. Jeff, thanks so much. Safe trip. Great broadcast as always.
Thank you very much, Steve. Appreciate it.
Jeff Byers, the play-by-play voice of Penn State Wrestling, and Bucknell will wrestle Penn State tonight in Soika. That will be quite an event. A lot of people have been aching to get Penn State to be in Soika to wrestle Bucknell. Well, tonight's the night. I think it's great. I think it's great that Cale has that kind of commitment to the sport. That he brings the greatest show on mats all over the country, including all over this state. I mean, just really great. It just tells you everything about him. Tells you everything about him. What, how much he loves the sport. And the lengths that he goes to promote how great the sport is. All right, great to have you with us. In the next half hour, we will talk with Don Marcus of the Baltimore Sun, 406 Ivan Maisel of ESPN, and the King joins us to make picks, hopefully better this week than last week. If you were going on what we said last week, we led you down a very, very bad path. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And with Matt Cotrillo on board today, it is great to have you with us on the show. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Stock up for the weekend. There's going to be championship football on all day tomorrow. Lots of NFL coming up on Sunday. It's going to be great. And how about some specials? How about extra gold lager 12-pack, 12-ounce cans, just $4.95. Lagen cooler. 12-pack cans, $7.95. And maybe you love wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, I might add, indeed second to none. And now's the time to start thinking about those incredible Brewers Outlet gift cards. It really makes a statement. Last year, the suit handed out paper mache planes to everybody. It just didn't, I don't know about you, Matt, just didn't feel good. All right.
Yeah.
It felt flimsy and cheap.
Yeah.
Now, to our credit, each one of us, you, Sean, Mark, Chad, we considered the source. All right, so so our suggestion to him is Brewers Outlet gift cards. Now, that makes a statement that drives the ball out of the park.
Now, I agree with that.
Oh, absolutely. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. It's the last day of November. You can make it in November to remember. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Penn State basketball tomorrow. It's the Big Ten opener at Maryland. Maryland coming off its first loss of the season to third-ranked Virginia, but they charged in the second half at them. Virginia had not given up more than 59 points in a single game this season until Maryland scored 71 the other night. Eventually, Virginia won it 76-71. Penn State coming off a win against Virginia Tech Tuesday night, 63-62. Tomorrow's game's at 5 o'clock, 4:30 the airtime. With that, we bring in Don Marcus from the Baltimore Sun. Don, welcome. It's great to have you with us on the show today.
How are you guys?
I'm doing very well. Obviously, the Maryland freshman, because Mark had to do something with the program. Initially, through the first seven games, what have they meant to the flow of Maryland basketball on the floor?
Well, it meant a lot. I mean, you have Eric Ayala, who's starting, basically has taken over a lot of the point guard responsibilities from Anthony Cowan, similar to when Anthony took over as a freshman from Melo Trimble. They're sort of playing a two-point guard set. And then you have Jalen Smith, who's also starting, who's the McDonald's All-American from Baltimore, you know, who's been a little up and down as big men are, but he's shown a lot of potential, a lot of, you know, pretty good flashes of this kid is going to be a really, really good player. The only issue is how long is he going to stay, and all the NBA scouts I talked to the other night believe he's a one-and-done no matter what he does this year on the court. And I think he'll do a lot of good stuff. And then the third guy who's really made an impact is Aaron Wiggins, who started the year as the starter but is coming off the bench. And he, you know, nobody is replacing Kevin Huerter in their lineup, but he's as close to replicating some of the things that Huerter did in terms of not only as a shooter but other things, you know, filling the box score with, you know, different things, whether it's steals or rebounds or assists. He's a very good all-around player. And then Sorrell Smith has gotten more minutes as the year has gone on. He's sort of a microwave type player, you know, who can light it up, you know, supposedly. He hasn't done that yet. Competition, I think, he's been a little overmatched, as especially the other night. But, I would say those four guys in particular have really done a good job. Ricky Lindo, more of a project, was a late signing.
Right.
But has some pretty good upside. He's sort of taken over as one of the top guys off the bench inside. But Ayala probably is the biggest surprise, and Jalen Smith, we're waiting for the first big game. I think he had 16-13 or something in his debut.
Yeah.
Hasn't quite matched that since, but you know, he's put up very good numbers.
Yeah, he had that in Delaware in the opener for Maryland. He had the double double. One thing that Huerter brought to the table above all is that brilliant stroke from the outside. And right now, in terms of point distribution, they're 310th in the country with only 24% of their points coming from three-point shots. So have they become far more inside the arc oriented?
Yeah, and I think that's a good thing, because they have, not only they have Jalen, they have Bruno Fernando, who I think could be the best big man in the Big Ten this year.
Yeah,
is showing that kind of potential. Showed it in flashes last year after he sort of got healthy. He had some ankle issues early in the year, and as he got healthier, he showed it and had some big games. He had a really nice game against Isaac Hock last year, late in the year, big game in Nebraska, I remember. And this kid has been consistently almost a double-double machine. And very active. Hasn't shown his shooting range, which I know he has, because most of his baskets are basically. And he says, when you shoot dunks, you should have a high percentage, and he does. So I think his improvement has also put Maryland potentially at a different level than they were a year ago.
Yeah, he's hit 77% of his shots this season. Now, obviously, you know, those are all around the rim, but he finishes. I mean, is he as fine a finisher as you've seen?
Well, he's very strong. And the thing that this year Bruno's doing is he's really playing under control emotionally,
yeah.
And that's helped him. That's helped him a lot. The game, as they say, the game slows down for these guys as they get older. and he knows that he has an advantage over the guys he's got, you know, who are guarding him. And even the other night, he put the ball on the floor and dunked it against Virginia, and I hadn't really seen that, you know, taking it from the foul line, putting it on the floor, and then just going up and slamming it, and that's what I think that I would imagine he made a few dollars on that move the other night with 30 with 30 NBA scouts sitting there.
Exactly. You mentioned Anthony Cowan not being on the ball all the time. What has been the benefit to him where he's not always on the ball?
Well, I think for Anthony, it's an adjustment. Even though he didn't always play on the ball in high school, even as a senior, they used him more as a scoring guard, and then in certain situations put him at the point. I think what it does, Anthony, is that it sort of takes some of the burden off of him of running the offense and scoring. And now he's a very good scorer, sort of like a Carson Edwards type. Not, I wouldn't say quite at that level. But right there, right behind him in terms of among guards in the Big Ten. He was third team All Big Ten last year, and I think that takes some of the pressure. But he still has the capability, and one of the things he's doing better this year is throwing the ball to the rim, because he knows guys like Jalen Smith and Bruno are going to go get it, and that's something that he's added to his game. And again, he didn't play great the other night, but he played well enough at the end to almost help Maryland, you know, pull off an upset.
Don, you mentioned about Fernando and Smith. Of course, they're out there starting together. One of the keys with big men is if they have the ability to work together at both ends of the floor, it makes a big difference. Is that still a work in progress, or are you seeing Smith and Fernando starting to work together?
I think at the offensive end, it's still pretty. I think it's better than I thought. At the defensive end, I think that they're still trying to figure out, because Jalen is definitely the guy who's going to go out and guard on ball screens, you know, especially depending on, you know, what side of the floor he's on. But you know, that was the thing the other night against Virginia, and they're not going to. I think right now the only team in the Big Ten that plays like Virginia and is as good as Virginia is Michigan. So they're not going to see that many teams. I mean, Penn State plays that way now, you know, especially if Watkins is not 100%. But I don't think Penn State, you know, as nice as a start as they had with the win at over Virginia Tech at home, I think that they're not, you know, in Virginia's class. So I think that with you know, Mark switched out and played four guards the other day because they were having trouble guarding, you know, the outside shot.
Right.
So he you know, Sticks got, Jalen Smith is a skinny guy, they call him Sticks. He got a lot of time on the bench the second half, and Mark has to figure that out, because you can't have two potential first round picks, NBA picks, and rotate them. He has to figure out a way to play them together. You know, maybe he plays some more zone than he'd like, but he has to figure a way to keep them on the floor together.
Well, the first 30 minutes of that game, Virginia controlled really everything. Guy was hitting three-point shots. Salt was able to roll to the bucket, score inside. What did you see out of Maryland in the last 10 minutes that shaped an opinion about them?
Well, I saw it at the beginning of the game when it was close, and then Mark made a terrible substitution. He put in four guys and kept Ayala on the floor, and it only cost them 4 or 6 points. But you know, they were playing catch up almost the rest of the night, and I think that one of the things that changed in the second half was, first of all, Virginia got in foul trouble. But what also changed is they didn't get any turnovers out of the press, but they were able to speed Virginia up out of the press. And I think that's what one of the things that Mark is going to try to do, especially against teams that try to be more patient, more, you know, in terms of the way they run their offense and try to work the ball around. And it worked, and Virginia got a little out of its game. Maryland made a run, started hitting threes, because they started the first half. They were 1 for 6 in the first half in 3-point shots, while Virginia was 8 for 15, and that was a big difference in the half. Maryland down 9, so you know, Virginia cooled off. Maryland started hitting shots, ended up 7-17, I think, from three. And that tightened the game up. They never really, I don't think the game was ever in doubt. Maybe there was one possession that they had gone. They had a near steal at midcourt, but then Virginia scored. And if they had stolen and scored, it probably would have been a two-point game with about 2 minutes to go. But that's what changed it was the press. And I think they're going to do that more. I think they're going to press more than they have before.
Yeah, because no one had scored more than 59 points against Virginia going into that game. They were able to knock down 71, and against the pack line defense, that's pretty impressive. What is the impression you have of Penn State, Tom?
Yeah, I haven't seen a whole lot of them. I know that they've always played Maryland tough. You know, games that I think Penn State, if I remember a game at, I think it was at Cole Fieldhouse, I'm dating myself, at Comcast Center. I date myself a lot. But anyway, Comcast Center, with Pat Chambers, rightfully so, was livid after the game, because I think there was like a, you know, something like a 30-10 or 30-5 disparity on free throws. And you know, so I think, you know, I think Penn State is the kind of gut team that gives Maryland problems. Now, it's going to be interesting. I don't know how much Watkins is going to play. I guess the other night was his first game back, it looks like. And, you know, so, you know, I would try to play small against Maryland, force them to go big and see if the big guys can guard them. And I think Maryland's going to see a lot of that, and Maryland's going to have to figure out how to do that. So I expect a good game. You know, I'm hoping that there's a good crowd there. They've had trouble drawing at home. They had a great crowd the other night from Virginia. You know, Mark said after the game they need them back there for Penn State, and they do. And one of the things I'm writing about for tomorrow is a few things that, you know, that Maryland needs to do to get back to the tournament this year. And they need to be a dominant home team like they were the first 2 years. And that will start tomorrow, and they better beat Penn State, or else, you know, the questions are going to start popping up again.
Always a pleasure. Appreciate your time very much. I look forward to seeing you there tomorrow.
Take care. Thanks.
Don Marcus of the Baltimore Sun. Next half hour, Ivan Maisel of ESPN. Picks in the final half hour. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us on this Friday, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. And, of course, the pickle bar is second to none. A lot to talk about Brewers Outlet. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, Kansas City Chiefs running back Kareem Hunt. This is we'll see how much of an issue this is for the NFL, because they've known about this, but the difference is you now have a video. This goes back to the 30 for 30 last night about Bob Knight that had originally aired on ESPN Plus, but aired on over-the-air ESPN last night, thus had an exponentially higher viewing audience than what they're trying to promote with ESPN Plus. Good luck with that. It's not going to go. But the difference is with Bob Knight is that you heard about Neil Reed, you heard about him, uh-oh, there's a video, and it surfaced. Well, Kareem Hunt, the NFL's known about the incident that took place back in February, but now there's a video. He is seen shoving and kicking a woman in the video that was released by TMZ today. The incident happened back in February. In the video of the incident, which had been previously reported by multiple outlets, Hunt and the woman trade words in a hallway and are separated by several people on multiple occasions. Hunt pushes the woman, who responds by hitting him in the face. Two men escort Hunt down a hallway before he charges out, colliding with a man who then knocks the woman over. Hunt also then kicks the woman in the leg. Police were called to the scene. There were no arrests. There were no charges filed. TMZ does report the prosecutors had access to the hotel surveillance video, and there was a decision not to file charges.
Through body cam footage obtained by TMZ, the woman and witnesses gave differing accounts of what escalated the incident. She told the police that she would not have sex with one of the men with Hunt, while they said she called him the N-word after being asked to leave Hunt's hotel room. In August, Hunt addressed the reports of both the February incident and another one in which he was accused of punching a man. The running back said that he had learned from it and was focused on football. Chiefs owner Clark Hunt also addressed the player's character at that time. Kareem is a young man, second year in the league, obviously had a very big year on the field last year. I'm sure he learned some lessons this offseason and hopefully won't be in those kind of situations in the future. Clark Hunt said in August he did not expect the running back to be disciplined by the NFL, to which he is not. In June, Coach Andy Reid said he had spoken with Kareem Hunt after the second incident but declined to specifically address either situation. The key now is, now that they have possession of a video, does that make a difference for the NFL coming down the stretch? But again, the police had access to it, and no charges were filed. So that's where it stands. How will the NFL handle it now that there is a video? And what impression does that make on them after viewing the video? So, that is one of the stories of the day. The Cubs, meanwhile, did tender a contract to suspended shortstop Addison Russell. And Russell's in the middle of a 40-game domestic violence ban. As of right now, he would miss the opening month of the season because he accepted that 40-game suspension late in 2018 after his ex-wife, Melissa Reedy, accused him of domestic abuse in a blog post. The Cubs have said they want to see Russell get help while also being a positive force on the issue. Now, just because they tendered him a contract doesn't mean that Russell stays with the Cubs. The move Friday was procedural. He made $4.3 million last year. And what it does is that by tendering him a contract, it prevents him from becoming a free agent. And remember, they picked up Torres in the deal from the Yankees. So that's on that front.
I think the NFL better be reviewing that very carefully, that Kareem Hunt video. Because once again, they're in that hanging in the balance again as they're trying to go ahead and be a little bit more stingent on these topics. I think they just have to revisit that again.
I completely understand it. And here's where the NFL has that rock and a hard place moment. One is, okay, he's accused of something. There's a video. We take a look at the video. Okay, we suspend him. Okay, so you do that. But at the same time, the police also had the video, and they didn't press any charges. So I don't know what the video. We have a description of the video. I think actually seeing it would help determine how you're supposed to react to it. The NFL has a domestic violence policy, so let's see how closely they follow to it, or whether they ad lib with it a little bit. I mean, I won't make any judgment until I actually see the thing since it exists. Since there is a video, all of us need to take a look at it, and then we make up our own mind, like, whoa, okay.
Right, agreed.
He needs to be out. Or, all right, let me think about this for a moment. It could be one of those, whoa, they've got to suspend him moments. Could be. All-American defensive tackle Ed Oliver's playing days at Houston are over. He tweeted today he's going to skip Houston's bowl game to prepare for the NFL draft. He's excited for the next chapter. He didn't play with Houston down the stretch anyway.